Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
You look so dumb right now. Standing outside your house with your cheating husband, cause you put on quite a show.
No, you didn't.
Really had us going. After eight seasons, it's time to go.
Bye.
Curtain finally closing.
Hey, and it's over now.
And it's over now.
Robin Dixon, take a bow
and get the fuck out.
Yes. Cheers. Applause. Round of applause. Prayers have been answered.
Applause sound effect.
Prayers have been answered. The Bravo gods have listened to the fans. Today is a day of rejoicing. If you are a Potomac fan, even if you checked out because of how whack the last season was, you can at least rejoice over the news that Robin Dixon is gone.
She gone. She on Dorinda break fired gone.
She admitted that she got fired gone. So we ain't gonna see you no more. Bye bye. Maybe she'll make an appearance like Charisse. We'll see.
Yeah, you know she's gonna be a friend of. You know, anytime they ask her to take a check to be with Giselle at some stupid event or some stupid something, she gonna be there.
She'll be right there because she ain't got really much else to do. Okay. Mm.
Well, welcome back, y'all, to a new episode. Clearly, we're happy. Clearly, we're in a great mood.
Yes. Okay. Season 4, episode 7, We Watch Too Much TV.
Seventh Heaven. Okay? This is going to be a great episode.
Because the legendary besties.
Just so excited. Like, I've never been so happy to see someone get fired. I know that's not right, but...
But I feel the same way. And I'm like, even like... Well, we're already talking about this one, so we'll just get into this one and then go back to the others later. But I just feel like, because I wanted both they asses to go, both the GIBs. But with Robin getting fired and it's confirmed, I'm like, okay, I do feel like they can keep Giselle because now Giselle really, really got to stand on her own.
She really, really
is going to be tested because it's like, do you want to quit? If not, then you got to get with the program. But with Candace leaving and Robin leaving, because, you know, the season was really, with their storylines was really just them going at each other. So, yeah, we could do without that. So now that really just leaves kind of like, I know, you know, Giselle is still so buddy up. Well, Mia's up Giselle's ass.
Right.
But it's like, I just want to see how this is going to really kind of play out. I'm very interested. But I think... with Robin being gone, I'm okay with Giselle staying only as it relates to just kind of see what you gonna do, boo.
To your point, I'm okay with Ashley staying if they make Kiara full time, because I feel like the way she chewed her ass up, I think we need to see that on a consistent basis. And Kiara gives me like just a good, is it Kiara, Kiarna? I feel so
it's
bad.
It's Kiarna.
Kiarna.
So okay. What happened? Because I just refused to watch it. Kiarna read Ashley at the reunion.
So she basically was like a younger version of Karen, where you could tell she's going to read you for filth. She was like, Ashley. Well, first of all, Mia came for Ashley. You know, I saw the clips on TikTok. Mia called out Ashley and said Deborah was on a rampage. Before she went to Candace, she went to Mia and was like, oh, Mia, I'm only a four. Basically, Deborah watched the entire show all last season and came to that party to confront anybody who said anything to her. So before she went to Candace and said, oh, I'm a Sesame Street, you got something to say? She went to Mia. Oh, I'm a four. Mia said, we all black queens. And she shut up. And then she went to Candace. So Mia said, I do think Deborah came with an agenda, but Candace, you not shutting her down and giving her that spotlight didn't help it. So she's like, I'm not blaming you, but I'm saying like Deborah did come with an Avengers and I shut that girl up because she wasn't important. But the way Kiana was basically like, so I'm not a fighter. I've never had a fight in my life. She literally threw a drink at me. And for you to sit here and look me in my face and say, I'm supposed to let somebody throw a drink on me is insane that you would say that. She said, I don't think you really know your company that you keep. You really need to be more aware. And just Ashley faced the whole time looked dumb because she didn't have nothing to say. Between that, Andy asking Ashley, like, why did you bring up the Osu thing? Like, what is it? And Wendy was like, that's a good question, Ashley. What is Osu? What is it that you did? She's like, well, now I know it's a sensitive topic. Oh, Wendy was like, oh, so you didn't know before you said it. You just said something on the show to bring all of this to my coach and all this drama. So I would demote Ashley, but I would keep her as a friend of because I like when they talk shit about her. So like,
I'm fine with her being a friend, but yes. I really don't think she deserves to be full time with just like, it's like, what are you even bringing? You're now admitting you rub this dude's toes. That you're allegedly divorcing. It's like, at this point, it's played out. If you're just going to stir the pot, you could do that as a friend. So I'm definitely here for her getting demoted. And then with Giselle, it's like, it's really just riding on her status as an OG. Because Giselle has no storyline either. It's just her status as an OG and the relationships that she has with different members of the cast and the power that she holds. So that's why I would be, you know, I'm open to her returning. But I would say that if there's no kind of growth in just what she's bringing to the show next season, it should be her last season as well.
I agree. I think her storyline should be life without Robin. Because what are you going to do?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Please. Like,
I think they should do what they did to Miami. Because, you know, when they came back and they had, they kept Alexia and Marisol. But then they brought in the Gertie, the Nicole. I feel like keep Karen, keep Giselle, keep Mia, keep Wendy. And then just get 3 to 4 new people.
Yeah.
Sharice is going to do anything and they ask her to. Robin is going to do anything.
She ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Demote Ashley and give us I like Kiana. I would love to keep her. Give us 1 or 2 new people. You got to shake it up.
Yeah.
Because I also want to see how, to your point, how Giselle is when she's alone.
Yeah.
Because apparently Robin was crying on their podcast. Like, I'm going to miss you, best friend.
Wow, girl, we not going to miss you.
We really not.
But that was a prerequisite, y'all, to our hot topics. But we need to get into our weekly grab. Sorry about that. We kind of just, you know, it's such a...
Because it's just so hot. Today was a very hot
day. It's a hot day. There's so much even more to talk about, but I love how we both just knew to just keep that one topic on the Robin getting fired, because there's other hot topics that we got to get into. We'll even spin the block on Potomac. But all right, what's first on your list, best friend?
Okay, so first on my weekly grab is a show that I have been... contemplating on watching. I've seen a lot of clips. I've seen a lot of things on social media. But I don't know what the fuck told me to watch this show yesterday. And it is the Gerard Carmichael reality show.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, if you've seen it in the news, if you heard things about it, it's basically Gerard Carmichael doing his take on a reality show, like a Kardashians. But it's 1,000% real and unhinged. And... I honestly don't know why he put this show out. It does not make him look the best, but maybe he's using it as self-reflection. But he just seems like a broken, sex-crazed gay man who has a lot of internal hate for men of color and people of color. It's just, I can't explain. It's just like he's going through life, but he's also doing these comedy shows. The two things that stick out to me is he's newly gay. So he came out when he was 30. So he's kind of new to the scene. He doesn't really date black men. He only had a crush on Tyler, the Creator, who he knew was not gay. I think Tyler has said he might've been with a guy once before, but he has a girlfriend. Tyler, the Creator, has a girlfriend. He has a daughter. He decides to like tell his very like straight friend on this television show hey, I like you. He doesn't get from the response via text. And a month and a half later says, you know what? Do you want to actually do it on TV? Like on camera? And the firsthand embarrassment of telling somebody you already told that you have feelings for them and they respond and say, you dumb bitch. Ha 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 ha. And then he's just sitting there looking emotional and sad. Tyler, the Creator, is eating Chinese food and farting. And it's like, why was this on TV? It's so like, between that and just how awful of a friend he is. Okay, so best friend, just imagine it's September 2022, right? It's the day of your wedding. And you tell me we need to wear pink dresses. You know what I tell you? You know what? I only like to wear Versace. I don't want to wear David's bridal. So I go to Versace, get a dress that look nothing like the dress. I show up to you 2 hours before the wedding. You like, hey, that's not the dress. So I go to the mall, go get food, and miss your wedding.
Wow.
He missed his best friend's wedding as the best man.
Oh, no.
Because the best friend that he's known since he was 9 said, go to David's bridal, to Men's Warehouse for a tux. He said he only wears Tom Ford, ended up with a Tom Ford tux, didn't even get the same colors. The morning of his best friend's wedding, went to the mall, took all fucking day at the mall. It was 10 minutes before the wedding. And he was like, the priority for me right now is a fucking hot dog. Missed his best friend's wedding.
That's disgusting.
But missed that. Then he has another childhood best friend. It's like the people who have accepted his gayness, who have accepted him coming out. He's just pushing them away. One of his childhood best friends, Jessica, since high school, she wants to move to New York. She wants to try her hand at acting. He moves her in with him, like, you know, you can live here. Don't worry about it. Instead of having a conversation about how comfortable he is, he just gets her new apartment after a month, says, this is for you. She's crying like you're the best friend ever. This motherfucker did not tell her he only got it for a month. So she starts calling him and texting him to ask about that. He ghosts her.
He put this all on this show?
Yes. When I say this is not, I don't know why he would do this. And then you see this sweet, his boyfriend who is so sweet, so kind. Gerard Carmichael cannot keep his D in his pants. He keeps cheating on him. Like, the boyfriend lives in Ohio. He lives in New York. He's on Grindr every second. And the boyfriend is so sweet. Like, you know, I just want to trust you after the first time. He cheats again. Then they go to couples counseling. And the boyfriend's being so emotional. And Gerard is so awkwardly laughing. I'm just like, why did you? I don't understand it. It's so cringe. I'm hoping there's like a redemption arc, but it just does not make you support him
at all.
It's cringy.
He had the nerve to call Dave Chappelle an egomaniac.
It's cringy how bad Gerard Carmichael is best friend. Like, it's really, like, it just changes your mind. I just didn't know somebody like this could exist, but.
Right.
Ooh. And I take it the men that he's cheating on the white boyfriend with are also like white.
Yes. The only guy of color, like, I've seen, like, black. I mean, they're Hispanic or they're white or they like some exotic, but none of them are black. The only black man he's admitted to having feelings for is the straight one that doesn't like him back, which gives her a lot of trauma. He talks about a lot of sexual trauma. He did things with guys from a very young age, but that's still no excuse.
No.
This just, No, I just don't understand why he did this show. I think it's like 2-3 more episodes left. And then like the preview of the next episode, you know, his parents are older black people. They're very religious. They're kind of coming to terms with the gayness. He asks his dad, do you want to see a picture of my boyfriend? And out of all the pictures he could show of his boyfriend, he shows his boyfriend's Grindr pic with him in a fucking thong.
Why? What the fuck is wrong with him?
Why would you show anybody, any of your parents, when you're talking about your partner, their most private picture? It's just, I can't even talk about this show. No, like, it's just so
cringe. It sounds cringe. It sounds annoying. Like, definitely. I mean, I've never really been a huge Gerard Carmichael fan, but he didn't do anything to piss me off. So I still just supported like whatever he was doing. But just from everything I've seen online and then how you've really broke down the show and what he has displayed, I'm good off of him. I'm definitely going to put him in the Todrick Hall box of gays that I'm good off of.
Listen.
And
I just had to see, is it as cringy as you think it is? And it is.
It is. It really sounds like it is. So
he's sucking toes on TV.
Oh yeah, that's what one girl was saying. The one that was from Rap Shit. She's like, damn. So if I would have just let. Oh wait, no, because then he's admitted that he likes to do race play.
Yes.
So if I would have just let a white man call me Harriet Tubman, I could have kept my show.
Wait, who said that, Jonica?
No, Aida Usman.
Oh, I love Aida, yo, but she's real. She's real.
She's like, the only black gay man I respect is Meek Mill.
You know
what? She's so silly. But okay, from cringe ass Gerard Carmichael to first off, my weekly grab, which is Lisa Vanderpump leaving Vanderpump Rules in the dust because she's over on Hulu. Living the good luxury life with her Vanderpump Villa show.
Yeah.
Based in Patty. It's along the like the coastline. So it's basically given like Vanderpump Rules meets Bridgerton. Mm. She's putting on high-end experiences at Chateau Rosabella on the French countryside. It is a predominantly American staff, which I found ironic, but I'm like, clearly this is just casting because there's no way you're going to have a villa in France and everybody's American. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's more production because that's stupid.
Exactly. But it is a diverse staff with like three black people, which is a first what I've seen from a Lisa Vanderpump show. And we have Marciano. He is the new Jax. He used to date Hannah. But he cheated on her. But Hannah is still mad thirsty over Marciano, getting into arguments with girls in the house over Marciano just because they sat next to him but and let their legs touch, like shit like that. She's mad insecure. He tells the entire group, like during their first night getting to know each other, that his best first date was with Hannah because she gave him a blowjob on the first date. Told this to everyone.
Okay, that's a right. lot.
Told this to everyone, and then she still proceeds to make out with him that night. So that gives you the gist of just kind of where her self-worth is as it relates to Marciano. Then just in episode one, you see the staff get into a messy fight on the night of opening, and the guests, because they each have different guests come for different reasons. So there's a couple there, and the guy is planning a surprise proposal to his girlfriend of 4 years. And then you got these damn staff members arguing at the bar. It's just like, it's that quintessential early Vanderpump Rules type kind of drama. But at the same time, it's in a much more luxurious environment because they all are living there. You know, they're all living on this villa. Then Lisa Vanderpump will come periodically and just judge everything up, put her spin, her taste, and her touch on it. And it's just nice because, you know, you see Vanderpump Rules is kind of just going to ass. So it's good to see this new revamped, reworked spinoff from what started with Lisa Vanderpump on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So, yeah.
What do you think? Compare it to Vanderpump Rules versus Vanderpump Villa. What's the like pros and the cons of both, if you want to say?
Well, Vanderpump Rules is done. Like, if you're talking about early, like, seasons 1 through 6, 7, fine. But after, like, season 6, 7, it's been dry. Like, it's a thirsty-ass cast. And they just, you could even see it more now how people are jealous of Ariana because of how popular she got after getting cheated on by Tom. So that's pretty much what Vanderpump Rules has been for the last couple of seasons. They all are really thirsty, Hollywood hungry people. There's not real loyalties on the cast. And that used to be cool in the earlier days of the show while they were still young and drinking and hooking up and all that. But that's not the case anymore. Like, people are now married,
right?
Divorced, and just in relationships. They don't even work there anymore. They don't work together. So they're just being forced together for scenes. So I would say, I mean, if you're comparing Vanderpump Villa to early seasons of Vanderpump Rules, I would say Vanderpump Rules, because the early seasons of Vanderpump Rules are just top tier. But if you're talking about now, it's all the pros are to me. I like that. Like I said, it's in a foreign country. It's on the French countryside, so it's just freaking gorgeous. They're in like a little, like a freaking castle type estate. The cast is diverse. people are coming from all different kind of walks of life with their own story as to mm-hmm. why they're there trying to work for Lisa and make it. And these are just things you didn't necessarily see on Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump.
So yeah, that's kind of what I would say. So get to Hulu and watch Vanderpump Villa. If you are a fan of Lisa Vanderpump and the Vanderpump Rules and now The Valley, like all these spinoffs that have been birthed from
Lisa. From Mrs. Vanderpump herself.
Yes, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It started from there. And she, at the end of the day, ain't nobody had as much success post Housewives as Lisa.
There's one thing she do is she gonna do a spinoff, okay? She gonna give you a spinoff.
She gonna open up a restaurant somewhere and call the cameras. Come record my staff here in Las Vegas or France or West Hollywood.
Your accent is so...
And she got it. She got a new dog now. So, hey.
Yes, come with me.
Yes, come with me and just watch me be fabulous. So, yes. So, what is next on your weekly grab, best friend?
Okay, next and final on my weekly grab is one of our favorite shows, which is back for its fourth season on Paramount Plus. Uh-huh. It is the Challenge All Stars 4.
Oh, yeah.
With an amazing cast. There's something about the old, like the original Challenge people that are on the show that just gives you a sense of nostalgia. And it's no shade to the regular season, but they randomly like get people from we don't know where to, whereas everyone on the Challenge has been on a show before. They're not just on social media.
Okay.
Season 4 is amazing. They got some people back. Leroy and Cam are back for their first season in a long time since they became parents and engaged. She filmed this right before she got pregnant with her second child. So they're back. You have Miss Rachel, another one of my long-standing lesbian crushes. Rachel from The Challenge. She's like the person who does like the YouTubes and they get fit and stuff.
Right.
She's back competing. They have Keefla, who was like the first winner of The Challenge in 98. Wow. He is a cool, dope black man. I don't even think he's competed since then. He's like, look, I'm a grandfather now. He looks amazing. He brings this good energy, but he's what this show is about because his first challenge, he just cried because he finished. He was like, I just wasn't last. I haven't done this in 20, almost 30 years. Wow. It's just a good breath of fresh air. You have crazy ass Laurel. I don't understand.
She's crazy.
Laura was really crazy. Something is really, really insane with her. Yep. You have her ex, Nicole, who they argue all the time. So it's just a really, really good season. It's one of those seasons where everyone could win. My also MVP is Flora. I don't know if you remember Flora. She was like a Cuban woman from Real World Miami back in the 90s. Her commentary best friend is going to have you on the floor. She's like, I don't even know why the fuck I signed up for this. I just don't want to die.
Those are always my favorites.
Yo, she's like, my daughter told me I better not die and I better not go home first and embarrass her. So it's just funny because you see these people that are older than not so young. You see them competing and you see just like a riff. It's just a really good season. I'm going to go into a little bit more of my piss poor, but if you haven't yet, it's worth the Paramount Plus subscription and cancel it again. But it's back. It's funny. TJ is back. And the format is different. Uh-huh. Now there's six stars, three for three men and three for three women. And the goal is you got to get a star to get to a final. So the whole season, people are just fighting over the same six stars so they can get to that final. And only one person wins.
I wish they did that on the regular challenge so it wasn't a whole bunch of flops that made it to the final.
Yes. So that basically, so it's like if I win, let's say I win the mini challenge and I'm safe. I don't have to go in. I can still go in if I want to fight for a star. Cause in order to get a star, you have to win the elimination. That's the only way you can get a star, but you can also steal a star. So let's say Leroy gets a star first. Right. And then the next week he can go get another star and give it to Cam. It's going to be interesting to see how your relationships,
they always put a component where it makes it easy for alliances to help each other.
Yes. And I'm telling you, some of these alliances that came in, like the Tina, Veronica, Rachel alliance, they're giving some hints that might be broken. Ooh. Cara's a little bit everywhere. The Mean Girls from like the earlier season. So Rachel, Veronica, and Tina, they always had like a little click.
Right.
But I'm excited. It's super funny. I've always thought it was more funny than a regular challenge season because it's just my type of humor.
Specifically because of the age and they're returning and the old beefs, because these are all people from the quintessential challenge times. Like
yes, when they were in the bodega.
Yes. So those are just the early start. They set the stage for what we now know as the challenge. So to just see them come back, a lot of them have unfinished business, but then at the same time, their parents, they're older, mm-hmm. they're defying odds, are just even kind of pushing their boundaries from things that they haven't done since they were like in their 20s. It's just so much more intriguing to me. And especially those of us that have been watching from so long when we were young, it's just real nostalgia watching the All-Stars. So it's
inspiring because these people are like in their late 40s, early 50s, some a little older. They're like, I never thought I would compete, right. Get on TV. So it's like, it's never too late to kind of get your second win in life. So
yeah.
If you need something funny, inspirational to watch, please watch Challenge All-Stars Season 4.
I'll get around to it. Or I think I'm a bootleg it because I just checked my my bootleg site and they got the first two episodes. So I'm going to watch that later, because we're not paying for Paramount Plus when that's all they got for me.
That's real. What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on weekly grab, we're gonna spin the block on Love and Marriage DC because the season has wrapped. We are now into the reunion, the finale / reunion. That was the last episode they showed on Saturday. And just from watching it, I would say my perception of Joy, if you can remember, it was already changing because I felt like she had a really bad attitude during that cabin trip when they brought in the healer. I did understand that the healer was just went about her approach was just all wrong. However, I just felt like Joy was coming off so standoffish, bad attitude, stubborn. And so now we're seeing, I just feel like we saw more of that in this finale. So you actually see that in the episode prior, Ashley and Joy made peace. And so now they go on this little shopping date because Ashley's trying to help Joy with her fashion. Because let's be honest, Joy can't dress. But, you know, it's like, so Ashley's trying to move forward on this girl's date with just the two of them. But you could tell Joy came with negative energy. And she's equating it to Ashley's fallout with her husband, Clifton. However, when they rekindled their friendship, Ashley made it very clear how she felt about Clifton because he kind of jumped in her face. And Joy accepted it. So for Joy to bring it back up, it's just like, well, girl, you never really wanted to make peace. And at the same time, too, I feel like, you know, y'all on the show. I just feel like you could have been like her and Ashley could have just kept working on their relationship. And Joy could have been that bridge that brought Clifton and Ashley together. Because at the end of the day, y'all all grown and that shit is petty. It's stupid. And then you could even see, even as Joy is at first, like calling, like not calling her out, but just like rehashing old shit that Ashley thought was over. Ashley's trying to kind of be patient with her. But as Joy just kind of just keeps being negative, Ashley, you know, Ashley's also a mean girl. She just was like, all right, fuck it then. Like, fuck you. We're done.
We don't keep trying. What am I trying for?
Right. And so just overall, I feel like Joy is just very, very stubborn. But one thing to her credit. So, okay. I know you didn't watch Ready to Love, but you do know that Clifton and Joy met on Ready to Love. Joy was Clifton's first choice. This girl, Carmen, was his second choice.
I did see the YouTube clip of her. I don't know how I feel about her.
So now they're all like really close friends and people be thinking they're a throuple. A part of what Joy was mad about Ashley about and confronting her about, she was saying, oh, Ashley was offending Carmen with the throuple comments and Carmen is her best friend. So, okay, Joy, Ashley's like, okay, you're a best friend with somebody that you just met like a year ago and was almost about to be with your man instead of you, but okay. But then when, so there's an event, Arena threw her husband, Jamie, a retirement party, because, you know, Jamie retired from 25 years as a police officer, and Joy came to perform, and then she left, and then when Carmen came to the party, Joy was already gone. And so, you know, Ashley and Sherelle are talking shit about Joy. And Carmen joins them And it's talking about how basically she doesn't agree with some of the decisions Joy makes as it relates to like the whole, remember I was telling you the block situation where they used to work. So that's Sherelle's husband. And he called Joy out and was like, oh, you know, like, why haven't you spoken to me? But you're telling people I did this and this and this and that. We were cool. And Joy's like, we were never cool. So Carmen's saying she doesn't agree with that. She doesn't agree with certain things as it relates to Ashley and Quick. But it's like, girl, she just called you her best friend. And she's like, that's not my best friend. It's like, wait, what? Like, super, super shady, super, super backstabbing. But yeah, I just see the plot is thickening. They was almost about to fight at the reunion, DJ Quick and Clifton. So I'm like, okay, there's something here that's brewing and it's going to continue into next season.
Wait, how many episodes was this season? I feel like it was like five or something.
This is all old, by the way. They recorded the reunion this year, but remember, they went on a whole year hiatus. We were watching. I thought they canceled the show because I was like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
It ended in during the Christmas time of 2022.
They had like a Santa fight, and that's when Joy and Ashley got into it, right? I saw it on YouTube. Yeah.
And okay. So I'm sure they recorded the rest of the season early last year, and then now we're just now watching it. So that rollout was horrible. I'm sure it wasn't Carlos's fault. I just don't understand why it was such a big hiatus. It like really was a disservice to the show. And then they introduced Love and Marriage Detroit. It was just
that was my next question. What do you think that's gonna come back? What do you think?
Of course, that is Carlos's hometown. He is gonna ride for Detroit. I'm gonna tell you that. If there's one franchise he's not letting go of, it of course it's Huntsville, and it is Detroit because that is his hometown.
You said Detroit.
You gonna watch Detroit. Okay.
OMG.
It wasn't that good, but he gonna make sure we watch that shit. I tell you that. So yeah. But all right. That was our weekly grab, because now, girl, we got to get into these hot topics.
Let's call it Bravo topics, because everything
it's all
is Bravo.
Yes, Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo.
Wait, can we start with the biggest news, which I kind of agree with? BravoCon being canceled for this year and coming back to Vegas in 2025.
Why is it canceled? Why do you agree with it?
What they're going to talk about. I feel like everything they're rebooting, everything is kind of starting over. They're in a lot of the middle. There's no Atlanta right now. There's no Potomac right now. New York is like in the middle. Right. I think that they are going through a revamp with all of the stuff going on in the shows. I think they're going to take this year off to really give us the best of the best. And then 2025 is going to be even better. BravoCon. Dubai is finally coming back. I feel like they need to figure out Beverly Hills now, Miami, Potomac, and Atlanta. And I feel like they're going to take the rest of this year to really hone in on who they want to be at BravoCon.
I hope they do, because I feel like a lot of it was them dropping the ball. I think a lot of it is also just the lack of diversity on the production side and being out of touch with what viewers really want, what the viewers look like, what representation. When you see where they're getting it, like Martha's Vineyard is crushing it right now.
Oh, love it.
One of the top shows. And then it's about the cast dynamics and then the stories. Like you have the other Summer House where outside of Carl and Lindsay's breakup, there's not really much there, but you're still forcing this show down our throats or forcing certain cast members down our throats. And it has to be people that look like them that are just like, well, we know them and we this. And it's just like, no, because you did that with Potomac. You've done that with other shows, Beverly Hills with Kyle. It's just like, you guys have to not be afraid to make those decisions. And I think what happens is the way they do it, they get forced to do a cast shakeup with the cast on some of these shows. You got to do that on the production side too.
I really think they're taking that time. I think they're finally listening. I think between the ratings and things that are not consistent and between all of the changes, all of the the healing, the growth, the like come to Jesus moments they need, I think they're taking a year off to revamp every show. And I feel like next year is going to be really good. So that's the biggest thing to me is I'm 100% with it. We don't need BravoCon. Come 2025.
I support that, and I do hope so. So now we already talked about Robin getting fired. Praise God.
Bye, girl.
So the next alleged report, this comes from the Jasmine brand, which they were the first to come out and say that Robin got fired. So far, like, and I've never known Jasmine brand to like release a source report that doesn't end up being true. They're pretty right. credible, in my opinion. But they are saying that NECA is also allegedly fired. It won't be returning next season. So she would be a one season housewife. What are your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. Second thing that got right this season so far. If you even look at the clips from the reunion, she do look like a fan. Somebody said right. that on Instagram. Instagram, TikTok. They was like, NECA is really giving fans. She had no input. She had no real sense of like opinion. She just literally sat there. She didn't even bring the fashion. And then she has the life. One blogger was like, she has the life that you would want to have, but she just doesn't have the fire. So I'm not surprised. The only storyline she had besides trying to have a baby was Wendy, but she didn't really have the reads or the attitude or the umph
Think it's getting hard to really cast the right people, because we could take it back to Salt Lake City with Monica. As good as she was because of her train wreck, how she's a train wreck of her life and stuff, like, she really was a fan. She was it was clear she was a fan. She was running a troll page. She was looking into everybody's lives. Like, it's gotten to the point now when you say NECA was a fan, you see Deborah coming in and ruined that she was a fan of the show. I think it's getting hard to really cast genuine, good quality people on these shows who aren't just after fame, and especially when it relates to the Housewives franchise, because it's just so legendary. So I think that's going to be the challenge for them. And that's why I think it would require like having really diverse production staff to assist with these decisions. Because if you are all white and you're out of touch and don't know shit about shit, how are you really going to determine that NECA was not the best choice to go with?
Right. All white is not all right.
Ashley should be given more monitoring when it comes to inviting people on set.
100%.
You know what I mean? But when if you're a little timid, or you're just like, oh, it's fine. Yeah, I love Ashley. Then it's just, this is kind of what's happened. And it is, we really are seeing the decline of the Real Housewives franchise across the board and a lot of other Bravo shows as well. So, yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm not going to compare Monica to NECA, because I don't know if you listen to Nick Vile Files or heard about Monica's little interview. Monica is pregnant with a 29-year-old boyfriend.
I know.
I feel like her life, I feel like I would have said, fuck you, Heather Gay, to watch this season of Monica. Honestly.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's still good because she's a train wreck, but I can't weed out if I feel like she really, like, the way she's just so comfortable sharing it, it's like, I really feel like this girl is dangerous because she doesn't care. So she's like, just as long as you keep talking about me, she's one of those. And it's like, after a while, those people even get annoying with watching, because it's like, you're just so freaking thirsty for fame and attention and notoriety. You're going to put everything out there. You're going to throw your mother under the bus. Now you're going to go through this heartbreak with this 29-year-old. You're going to get pregnant by someone else. The daughters are getting older. We're going to watch the daughters start dragging her ass for filth for being a fucking, you know, not as bad as her mother was to her, but she's not, you know, I'm sure there's some areas there. And it's like, we're just going to keep watching Monica be a hot fucking mess. And again, I would be okay with that, but it was how she handled herself at the reunion. So I really just think they're putting her on pause and they're going to bring her back.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like, I've been saying it from day one and my discernment is strong. Something about her really scares me. She really is a liability. She is an extreme liability because she's so out there and unpredictable. It's not necessarily the safe choice on a Real Housewives, on a Bravo, right? Like, this isn't Zeus, right?
Ooh,
like,
Lord Jesus is not.
You know, we're not talking about Jocelyn Hernandez that beats the shit out of her cast and they deal with it. No, like this is Bravo. Like they have things that they're with NBC Universal. Like I just think with some people, I mean, with certain things, they have to be careful. And something with Monica is just, it's just not sitting well. I just can't comfortably be like fully get behind her because of how thirsty I see she is. It's like a dangerous thirst. So I don't know.
Sometimes a break is what you need to defer to see if it's like, to your point, like, is it like you are a thirsty person? Do you have a redemption arc? Can you come back? So to your point, I think she should be a pause. So as NECA, I'm gonna say she can't come back, but I need something else. Like,
I don't know.
Like, what are we coming back about?
I don't. I get nothing from her. She has no flavor.
No.
I'm really fine with her going. Like, this was her chance to introduce herself, and she chose to just. Her storyline was just nothing. And even when I watched the little clips of her, because it looked like she was trying to like work with her fashion and
it's
stuff
so
like
bad, girl.
The way she looks at the camera, I'm like, this girl's awkward. Like you could tell I heard she's from like Wisconsin or something. Like something's off with her. Like she looks like she just doesn't even get it socially. Like she just doesn't get it. So she's just down for the ride because she wants to be on television. So I'm fine with her not returning at all either. She gave us nothing.
Moment of silence for you, girl.
Yeah, Demetria. Who else?
Oh, Demetria McKinley. She gave us Claudia Jordan, but at least Claudia have come back.
Well, I know. I wanted Claudia back. I feel like the only reason Claudia got one season is because of Nene.
Yeah, but I agree.
I liked Claudia, but like Demetria, Kim Fields, Jenny Nguyen.
Yeah. Ooh.
She could go on right there. But still on to Potomac, let's get into Candace Dillard, who is joining me in the pregnancy club.
Surprise, surprise.
It's so funny because I saw her at this Grammy event and I went up to her. I talked to her for a little bit and we was both pregnant, child. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling too. I was hoping she was either like pregnant or going to get pregnant really soon. I was claiming.
I knew that was the reason she was taking a break because I knew it wasn't Giselle and how, because she could handle all the cooks. I knew.
Right.
I knew it had to be something personal in terms of her family because I know how much Candace likes her bag and likes the opportunity that Bravo bought to her. Mm-hmm. So I knew that she was either going to really start taking it seriously or she was pregnant. And because she's announced it beforehand, non-shout out to Robin Shady Little Diggs today trying to say, well, I'm not going to announce it before the season's over like some people. Bitch, because you got fired.
You got fired.
It wasn't your choice.
And she made it seem like Candace also got fired. Candace didn't get fired.
Yeah. No, she didn't. And I think that's why, honestly, I think that's why Candace released it at the time in which she did. Because it was as people were releasing the clip of Robin confirming, then Candace said it right now, drop my bomb. Because you know Candace and Giselle don't know, they're not friends. So everybody was talking about Robin. Now everybody's like, this is why Candace left, because she's pregnant. But now Robin looks petty. I love it.
Mate, bitch.
Mic drop, bitch. Yes. And me and my man. I did watch
the
interview.
I'm here for it. I'm so happy for her. This was just the final piece of the puzzle for Candace. You have it all, my love. You grew up with money as a Black woman with a successful Black mother. You married a man who has his own career in the culinary field. He loves you. He been riding for you throughout all the bullshit that they tried to throw at y'all on the show. We all know how bad you wanted to be a mom and you were being patient. You were dealing with jabs and stuff from people. And now your time is here. You are going to be a phenomenal mother because unlike some other people with their big ass foreheads, you could prioritize taking time off from a reality show to focus on motherhood and not sitting here coming to events with your breast milk and stirring the pot or arguing unnecessarily because that's just not the kind of mindset and lifestyle you want to be having while entering motherhood for the first time. So we are here for it. We support you. We love Candace.
Oh wait, just get this clip. Because I'm gonna post this clip. Hey Andy, truly original. Let's get this spinoff series when she gives birth together. If we could give Portia one, we need to see Miss Dot in that room fighting with Chris as Candace is pregnant. Because you know, Miss Dorothy Delta
Dot
is not going to take this. I need her to get a spinoff. What? I'm telling you,
isn't this Miss Dorothy's first grandchild?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My God.
I need to see this on my TV screens. And this is why Candace, I think, left with the good graces that she did with Bravo. I feel like Andy probably gave his blessing. I don't think it's nothing her and Chris is doing right. That Andy don't know. I feel like Andy knew, but he was kind of trying to play it. I see a spinoff. If they're going to give Erica Jane one and they're going to give fucking Portia one, Candace going to get one because we need to see Miss Dot as a grandmother.
Even if it's just a special.
I'm telling you, listen to me, Andy, truly original, Bravo. Give Candace her three-part special that Portia had, that Candy had, that Kim had. We got to see it. I'm going to tell you. Yes. I want to see it.
All right.
Put me in a producer's room, all right? Call me, y'all. Call me.
Right. Call for now. moving on with our Bravo news. Well, let's just stick with leavings and terminations. So, Crystal Kung Minkoff is leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The report came out and then she confirmed it with a video message. Just saying like, you know, she had a good time, but she's moving on, I guess. I didn't even watch it because I'm sorry. I do like Crystal. I just wasn't that interested. I was just like, okay, bye.
And this was her best season. Honestly, from what I saw from clips, you know, I wasn't watching the show. This was the season where she actually wasn't like getting played all the time and she was actually coming for people's necks. But at least she's Candace leaving, not Dorit leaving. It's two types of leaving. I feel like Crystal was like, I'm deciding to kind of leave and kind of take a break.
More people leave, though. And are fired. Like, Dorit might need to be next. I'm sorry.
Or she might not even be asked back, honestly. Because I'm over her and Kyle. They could both take a break.
But yeah, there are a couple of people. Because honestly, Beverly Hills needs some change. For real. It's dry.
And this is their second season in a row where they had a dunce one hitter. First, Diana Jenkins was a dud. Anna Marie is a dud. It doesn't matter how you try to convince us that blah, blah, blah. Girl, you're a dud. You're not made for the job.
Yep. And then last on our hot topics is Real Housewives of Miami, Todd Napola has filed for divorce from Alexia. Alexia released a statement saying she didn't even expect him to file for divorce, child. Like,
that had me gagged. Out of all the news today, that had my mouth open.
Right, because I would think that she knew he was about to file for divorce. No, her statement is clear as day. It says, I am shocked and heartbroken that Todd has chosen to dissolve our marriage. Wow, girl, what happened? And Adriana really clocked that tea?
Yeah, imagine like finding out you divorced like that. I think that's always been like, what type of disconnect do you have to have in a relationship to not even have respect enough? Like, that's a common decency. Hey, girl, just letting you know, I don't want to be married no more.
I'm done.
Yes. It's like, imagine that embarrassment. And you know Adriana going to milk this all next season.
Oh, Adriana's
going to be her storyline.
Once again, Real Housewives of Miami is the saving grace of the Real Housewives franchise. Like, they are crushing it. Another good buildup for another season. I'm really, really excited because now I believe, Lars is single. I believe.
Ooh, I can't wait for that confessional. Yes. It just was time. Like, girl, we all knew.
Yeah, like, girl, shut up with that big ass age gap. And his father ain't like you. It wasn't happening. But yeah, it's already like a bill. And they got to give Adriana the camera time she needs, baby, to get to work. Adriana, baby, get to work, mama. Get to work. Because it's a lot of that. You people need to address it. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to be like, oh, da 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 da. Because Adriana was trying to say what's going on with you and Todd last season, and you was playing coy. Clearly, was it the money issues? What was going on? I also do believe, too, it was, I don't think he liked her sons. Not
they, wow, somebody said that, like, Frankie. It was the baggage, quote unquote.
Right, but it's just like, one, she coddles Peter, and he's just a hot ass mess. And then just, you know, with Frankie, and then all the attention that he needs because of his condition, that probably was just too much for Todd. And he was like, you know what? On top of the money issues, and he's a narcissist, I think he was just like, I'm gonna get out of Dodge. I'm done.
He used it for his own clout. I think that he gives, like, I want my own clout. I want my own kind of, like, you know, like, energy. I want to be known for something. So he definitely gives, like, I want to make a name for myself, and that's it. And I just always could tell how much he truly loved her, because there's no way in hell you could be with somebody and not even have the respect to text them and be like, it's not working out. You know, it's just disrespectful.
Disrespectful. But all right, a lot of hot topics. Y'all know we only bring that segment back when it's worth it. So that was our hot topics. And now let's get into our piss poor performance. All right, what you got, best friend?
All right, so who I'm pissing on this week? And you know, this is a case by case situation. So this week goes to Ayana from the Challenge All Stars 4. The first two episodes comes out, so you will see it. But the way in which she mentally manipulated that situation was disgusting. She basically was trying to say she was doing gameplay, and she tried to kind of just antagonize a player. And, you know, it's always interesting that people are like, it's TV. So eventually this is going to come out, and then the editing is going to come out. But the way in which she tried to make it one way and then just did it another way and then went on this tangent the whole entire day in the house, Leroy had me crying in tears, because she did like a 15-minute speech about voting and right and wrong and whose side are you on. And she was like, right now, I'm not going to give nobody my vote. But in that note, I'm going to vote for this person. Leroy said, wait. Can you explain to me what just happened? No, Leroy, it's my time. I'm reclaiming my time. He was just want to know how you went from I'm not voting because I love both of them to saying a name. And she goes off, and Leroy, he walks up. He's like, no, I got to go. He walked away like, this is what I came back for.
This is who she is. She's just
so extra. It was so negative. It was so disgusting.
Time and time again.
It just was like, this is not, it's different than a Johnny Bananas. Cause one thing about Johnny is he's not vindictive. Anything he says about you or tries to play is going to come out. But the way she did her gameplay, it just left a nasty taste in my mouth. I'm going to wait until you catch up. I don't want to give too much away, but she's definitely getting my piss poor. You will see why. Who's on your piss poor?
I'm sure I won't disagree. Cause she has literally, there's never been a time where I have liked her ever.
Ugh.
Ever. My piss poor is going to Kristen on The Valley, the other Vanderpump Rules spinoff. If you could recall, Kristen, Jax and Brittany had something to do with it, but Kristen was fired from Vanderpump Rules for the racist act she did against Faith, which was the only Black cast member ever on Vanderpump Rules. Hence me bringing up Lisa having Black staff on Vanderpump Villa, but I really think a lot of people are like doing their damage control to clean up what happened with the Faith situation. But right now we're on to on The Valley, and Kristen is upset because, first of all, Jax is self-producing the show, right? Like, the show is kind of revolving around him and his friends in The Valley. And Jax is happy to be back on TV after getting the boot from Vanderpump Rules. So he's doing his due diligence to just stir the pot and make shit popping, right? So
right.
I told you the situation with Kristen and the new boyfriend that lives in Colorado, but he comes out to LA because they're trying to make a baby. So Kristen keeps kind of trying to persuade Jax to bring, what's the boyfriend's name around? Luke? I don't think that's his name. I'm just going to...
Let's just call him Luke, okay?
To bring Luke around, but at the same time, Jax acts like he's such good friends with the ex-boyfriend, Alex. And so he invites Alex to meet Luke, which it's like, why would you do that? So when Kristen finds this out from Brittany, Kristen's always been a fucking hot-ass mess. This is why it's very easy not to like her. Kristen gets so mad. Out of nowhere, she just decides to bring up something that has nothing to do with shit, that allegedly Janet told.
Who the fuck is Janet?
Listen, it's the other people on the cast, right?
Oh, okay.
So Janet told Zach, who told Kristen, that Michelle may or may not be a racist and a homophobe, because she allegedly told Janet, well, they were talking about the Don't Say Gay bill, and Michelle supported it because she said, yeah, we have to protect our children. And Janet was, you know, didn't agree with that. But Janet gossiped about it to Zach, and she must have added some flavor on it. But at the same time, Kristen decides to blurt this shit out, all because Jax made her boyfriend meet the ex-boyfriend. So now you have Janet, Michelle, Zach, they're all backtracking. Nobody is trying to own up to spreading this. Well, not Michelle. Michelle's not owning up to saying anything that relates to homophobia or racism.
Right.
Janet isn't owning up to telling Zach that she might have called Michelle a racist and a homophobe. And Zach is not owning up in the group setting because he admits it privately, but he's not owning up to telling this to Kristen, that her crazy ass, why y'all forgetting Kristen's fucking crazy? Mm. And she just blurted the shit out on camera. So back to the fact that Kristen was fired for racism from another show. It all shit hits the fan at a dinner table, a dinner party. And so Michelle's husband, who is already an asshole, and he don't give a fuck, he don't bite his tongue, he calls Kristen out. He's like, he was like, you got fired from a show for being a fucking racist. How dare
you?
Like, it was so insane. But at the same time, this goes back to, like, even what I was saying was good about the early days of Vanderpump Rules. Like, when you have a bunch of people, like, and Tanaya, you've lived in L.A., it's hard to really come by genuine friends.
Very hard. Extremely hard.
So you are seeing it once again on The Valley, because y'all can't sit here and tell me that y'all are friends. Y'all are not friends. Friends don't do this to people. They're all throwing each other under the bus, stabbing each other in the back, gossiping about each other. Now it's, you know, they all agreed to be on the show. So it's all on the show. It's all out there. And then on top of the fact that there's still this lingering cloud, because it's like you're as a Bravo fan, as a Vanderpump Rules fan or whatever, you're trying to enjoy the show, but there still is that stain and that dark cloud. Like, you know what? Y'all motherfuckers was racist to Faye.
Right. Y'all were pieces of shit to this black queen.
Including Jackson Brittany, because Brittany, Faith is still standing by. Faith just filed a lawsuit last week, by the way. Because she doesn't like how basically they were fired and she thought Bravo was going to be turning a new leaf, but they just basically put them on ice and then added them to new shows.
Mm. So
she's pissed off. Brittany called her nappy. Okay. This was around the time that, remember, they all hated Faith because she was just one of the girls that Jax cheated on Brittany with. But Jax has been cheating on Brittany. That was the other thing I wanted to talk about, because you're seeing Jax and Brittany, and there's just a divide because now we know they're going through whatever, breakup, whatever. But Brittany is clearly insecure. I'm just being honest, just looking at her. People are talking about it. She's letting herself go. She overdid it with the plastic surgery on her face. And she's really focused on the face. She's not doing nothing with the body, and the body is just looking conjubiled. I'm just being honest.
You know what?
I'm just being honest. Like, it's just, and look, and y'all know I'm pregnant. I'm about to have a baby, but I'm so determined, you know, like, that's just me. Like, I'm just determined. But also, I mean, I also had a good start. I would say with Brittany, I could even remember, you know, when she first came on Vanderpump Rules, like, when certain people have a certain shaped body, like, after you have a child or after you gain weight, it can now just kind of add to the, you know, like, she had one of those, like, she never really had a butt, right? So now you put on weight, but it's not like you have a nice curvy ass. It's like, it looks just there. Like, it's just, you know, it's just like, if she was considering, like, my thing is, there's nothing wrong with getting work done. So it's like, I say, get the right work done. I think it's time to get some contouring done, some body contouring done. Cause that could easily, you could easily kind of take from this area, put in this area, and just kind of rework the body to give it a more, womanly figure. That's just my personal opinion. I'm just, again,
Dr. Miami Jocelyn, she giving y'all these points.
I'm just saying because she's doing all this stuff to her face, and then the face looks crazy, like her eyebrows are too high, her lips, now she has like that Joker face, like the Jack Nicholson Joker, where your lips are kind of like just protruded. It's just like, Yeah, and at the same time, I wouldn't put it past that if Jax might be pressuring her and making her feel like this is what she needs to do, or I don't know if she, or maybe if she's doing it to try to impress him, I don't know, but it's just unfortunate to see. And then you see that he still talks to her like crap. And
damn,
it's hard to feel so bad for her when all the red flags were there, right? Again, he cheated on her with Faith. When that came out, Faith put out a recording of Jack saying how he wasn't attracted to Brittany. Yes, he only proposed to her when he was grieving the loss of his father. And he cheated on her again with a whole separate woman right before their wedding. And she still cheated on him.
No, well, you shouldn't have married him, Brittany.
Exactly. So now they're going to break up. It's kind of hard to feel sorry for her because it's like, girl, you, all the signs was there. You were choosing to ignore it and just wanting to be on TV with this man. And so now it's like, we're just kind of seeing y'all downfall, and that's just a part of the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, my piss poor is really going to all of them. All of them, and anybody who feels any kind of way towards anybody who's different and has a different story and a different lifestyle than them, and you think knowing about it or being introduced to it is a danger to your children. Mind you, you're sitting there. Zach is gay, so it's just disrespectful. So I don't think Kristen is lying. They're trying to make it seem like I do not think Kristen is lying. I think Kristen, they just didn't know Crystal was crazy enough to tell the truth, and I think that it's going to come out, and they're going to have to confront it. And that's why it's getting good. This show is getting good, good. It just sucks that it's around a topic of like racism and homophobia.
I know. It sounds like it's getting good. That's why I'm going to just listen to all of your,
yeah, girl,
like leave-ins and all of your, inputs. You know, I'm not watching that show.
Yeah.
But you're watching it, so we're watching.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, all right. That wraps up our piss poor. And now let's get into our yes.
Yes. Well, this, my yes for this week is the lovely queen that is Megami from this season of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 16. I feel like last episode I was telling you, like, I'm so sad they didn't do a Lollapalooza. But when I tell you, I love that they left this to the last episode before the reunion / finale. Mm-hmm. I love it. It was great. It was amazing. Oh, I love the premise. I love that it wasn't with the final three girls because they got their own stuff.
Yeah.
I love that we were able to see these girls in another light. A lot of them left early. Megami, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the episode, she wouldn't even made it past her first round.
Nope.
She gives very much like a comedy queen, like a Willow lip syncer, where it's not about dancing and choreo. It's about being interesting. But you did that, Megami. I think you made a new name for yourself. I know your followers are about to increase. And I'm happy you took Maya out. I don't know why everybody thought Maya was better than you for that lip sync, because all that girl did was kick and look at the side of the stage. No emotion. Because you flipping all the damn time. How am I supposed to see your face?
Exactly. Every time. That's what she does. It got played out.
Yes. She is that girl. She did an amazing job. And I'm so happy that we know who she is now. So
most definitely.
I will be following you on Instagram, sis, because you did that thing.
And if you get a follow from Tanea, that is very important. So,
yes, you Brooklyn queen.
Yes. So I agree with Tanea. My yes was going to the whole episode. It was good to see all the eliminated season 16 queens return and compete. I was just making notes throughout each one. A mandatory meeting, Eden, Dawn up. I was here for it.
Yes.
And the way Megami ate Q up when Q thought she was an easy beat, it just made me so happy.
Because Q know you ain't got no damn rhythm, girl.
And neither does Dawn. And I just really need Dawn and Q to go get some training. And, you know, because if you're ever going to return for All Stars, like, your lip syncing ability is trash. Like, it's not even good on the drama side. Because we have so many different variety of queens and how they lip sync, right? Everybody's not a dancer. Everybody doesn't do, like, you know, the little lip thing, like, you know, but it's like,
right,
you're not giving us anything. And then Q, the way she holds, was standing with her legs, it's very annoying. Like, yeah, I need change. Morphine versus Geneva Carr. Well, Morphine was doing her thing, baby.
No, Morphine is really a really good lip syncer. I thoroughly really enjoyed her.
I loved it. Maya versus Plasma and Tsunami. I mean, that was an easy one. Tsunami Muse, baby.
Yo, the way she said, did I want to move or I wanted to look cute? I wanted to look cute.
So I need Tsunami Muse to also work on her performance factor. But I was so surprised to see Megami beat Plasma at Cher.
Yeah.
Maybe, like you said, Megami just came to shine and it was.
Oh, no, she beat Amanda at Cher.
Okay.
Because Plasma lost the first round.
The first round, that's right. She beat
Maya.
Amanda.
So, yeah, Megami's first one was. Who thought that she was a layup? I think Q. Q thought that's Megami was a layup.
Yeah, Q.
And then she went against Amanda. And she won against Amanda.
It was good to see. It was really one of those underdog, counted out type situations. So, yes, it was quintessential RuPaul's Drag Race, a really amazing episode ahead of the finale with the top three. So, yes, here for it. And we are going into the top three, which we said it from the beginning. These were going to be the top three.
Yep, I felt it.
Jane, Nymphia Wind, and Safira. And honestly, I'm supporting of the top three, but I definitely want to see Safira or Nymphia take it home, not Plain Jane.
I agree. I don't think Plain Jane is going to win. Just based off the impressions I was looking off of today, Nymphia has a huge following in Asia.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at the impressions, her like hashtag is like beating Safira by a couple percentages. But to your point, either one of them will make me extremely happy. Yeah. I think it'll be a breath of fresh air. I do think we need our first mainstream Asian winner.
I agree.
16 years. We have not had a fully, the closest is Sasha Colby, but she's Hawaiian and Siamese. But I would love Nymphia. I think she'll be a different face on the winner's circle. So, but either one of them, to your point.
No, I kind of would like to see Nymphia win, pun intended. I would like to see her win because of just, But I love, come on, we all love Safira. Safira has been bringing it the entire time. But at the same time, for what Nymphia represents, it's very important. And so, yes, I'm rooting for Nymphia for sure. I just think it could be a challenge when it comes down to them competing during the lip sync. It could, like Safira could outdo Nymphia, but let's see.
I'm excited for either one of them. But whoever doesn't win, they give me a Shea Coulee. Either one of them lose, they're going to come back and win All-Stars.
Oh, most definitely. Easy win on All-Stars. So, yes. But, all right, let's wrap it up, best friend, because we had so much to talk about today.
The tea was hot today.
Yeah. Our positivity.
Nino just gave his quote. He's just, he's being ignored.
The timing of that was so perfect.
What's your quote, Nino? Give your quote on the mic.
Yes, Nino.
He's licking the mic. You hear his quote?
Oh my God.
What's the quote?
This is your chance to tell the world a positive quote.
What's your positive quote of the day? Okay, he said... He said his positive quote of the day is, "You carry the passport to your own happiness." From Miss Diane Von Rosenberg.
All right, I love that. Yeah, you carry the passport to your own happiness. I totally agree with that. I actually found an actual quote today from a woman.
Not from Wayfair.
Not from Wayfair, not from just Pinterest. Be the woman who fixes another woman's crown without telling the world it was crooked. By Leslie Littlejohn. Mm-hmm.
I like that one. We might have to print that out and buy it on Wayfair.
Yes, it's basically just saying, like, be a humble queen. Be a humble queen.
Yes, humble
and
queen.
On that note, best friend, Nino, what is our closing slogan?
Say love, abundance, and hair bundles. Okay, he said, yep.
Yeah, sure, lick the mic. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Go watch.
Don't get fired, like Robin.
Bye, Robin. Toodaloo.